Dear friends in Jesus Christ, last week I shared some benefits of memorizing Scripture. For example, we talked about transformation, how when we fill our minds with the Word of God, God changes us, He transforms us from the inside out. We talked about the benefit of guidance in knowing what to say and what to do in every circumstance as we are guided by the Word that is written upon our heart. We also talked about the importance of knowing how to live as Christians, again, as we write God's Word upon our hearts in Scripture memory. We also heard about the way in which Scripture memory had transformed the life of Dawson Troutman, how he had memorized 20 Bible passages, not even being a Christian. And does anyone remember what his motivation was for memorizing those 20 passages? How much money was he going to save if he memorized those 20 passages? Okay, I guess I have to give you the answer. He was going to save 50 cents by memorizing those passages, because if his team won the contest, then the other team would have to buy the food and beverages for the party, and that was going to cost each person 50 cents. You know, we do a lot of things in life where we waste a lot of time. But Scripture memory is never going to be a waste of time, because it's always going to bless the person doing the memorizing, and God's always going to use it to bless even other people through that person. Today I want to focus on some additional words of encouragement regarding Scripture memory, and then the actual steps that I take in order to memorize Scripture. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to take those very same steps and put some Scripture to memory if you have not already done so. And even if you have, I want to challenge you to review what you have learned in a regular way and also add new verses to what you have already memorized. First of all, I want to go to some real-life encouragement by mentioning the famous radio preacher, Chuck Swindoll. Now, with Chuck Swindoll, we don't necessarily buy into all of his theology, but certainly he is our brother in Christ, and he has some very powerful things to say on Scripture memory. This is a quote from him. He wrote, or he said, "I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture." The quote continues, "No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends." Let me pause for a moment. Did you hear what he's saying? He's saying that even more than going to Bible class, even more than coming to divine service, even more than reading your Bible at home, Scripture memory pays greater spiritual dividends. Now, I'm not saying don't come to Bible class or worship or read your Bible. I'm saying do all of it. But know that Scripture memory is at the top of the list. I agree with what he's saying. I found that to be true in my own life. He goes on to say, your prayer life will be strengthened. When we pray, we are praying in connection with the Word of God. When we have the Word of God written on our hearts, it changes our prayer life. So he said, your prayer life will be strengthened, your witnessing will be sharper and more effective. Again, think about it. If you're trying to share the truth of God's Word with someone else, and you're trying to fumble through your Bible to find some key passages, what kind of witnessing is that going to be? Even though God can use that too. But it's much better, though, if we have those words right on our heart and right on the tip of our tongue. Much more effective. He goes on to say, your attitudes and outlook will begin to change. Most of the time, understand that this has been the case. When I've talked to members of Bethlehem Lutheran Church who are struggling in various ways in their lives, what is oftentimes true of them? They're not real faithful in coming to worship. They're not coming to Bible class at all or very often. They're not reading the Bible on their own, and they're not memorizing Scripture, and they're struggling. Understand that these are the answers that God has for us to set our lives on a whole new path. It all deals with the Word of God. I mean, I don't mind talking to people, but what do I do then in the conversation? I'm pointing them back to the Bible. Let's be proactive. Let's stay out of trouble by staying in the Word. God will bless us. He wants to richly do so. He also goes on to say, your mind will become alert and observant. How does that happen? Well, when we know Scripture, Now, as I'm speaking and living, God keeps bringing that to mind and comparing it with what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And then God helps me to be able to look at other people and understand more about them because I know what the Scripture says about them. I mean, it just changes us in a very deep and meaningful way. He goes on to say, your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Some of the earliest verses I memorized are what are called the five assurance verses. Assurance of salvation, assurance of forgiveness, assurance of victory over temptation. Assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer, assurance of victory over temptation, assurance of forgiveness, and assurance of guidance. By hearing the verses of some benefit, by memorizing the verses of much greater benefit, when you have them memorized, God can assure you and strengthen you in ways beyond what you can ever get from reading it. He also finally said that your faith will be solidified. God does not want us to go through life wondering whether or not we are going to heaven. He wants us to know for sure. The way we know that we know is by being in the Word. And what happens? Like it says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How does the Holy Spirit work? The Holy Spirit always works through the Word. So when you have the Word written on your heart, the Holy Spirit is speaking through that Word written upon your heart to assure you that you are a forgiven child of God. If you don't have that Word written upon your heart, you're going to fall into sin and say, oh, that wasn't good. I wonder if God's going to let me into heaven now. When you have verses memorized, that floods into your mind, and God strengthens you and assures you and blesses you in a ton of different ways. It's a powerful, powerful thing. I want to read you a quote from Hank Hanegraaff, sometimes known as the Bible Answer Man. It's interesting what he writes. If there is one thing preserved in the text of Scripture, it is the injunction or the command to record God's word upon the tablet of your heart. He goes on to write, one of the best things that happened to me as a new believer was being told that all Christians memorize Scripture. Now, I want to pause here for a moment in his quote and go back to last week with Dawson Troutman. Remember what happened? He decides he's going to go to what's called Young People's, kind of hoping to meet a pretty girl, I think. Nothing to do with Christianity. He's given the 10 Bible verses. Why does he memorize them? To save 50 cents. Why does he memorize the second 10? The same motivation to save 50 cents. But what happened, though, when he came back after the first week, he came back the second week, all these Christians, all these young Christian people, they were all given the same 10 Bible references. What did the other Christians do? He's thinking, oh, they're all going to memorize them. What happened? None of them memorized all 10. That is so pathetic. I had a couple of Jehovah's Witness men come to my door yesterday morning, and we had a very interesting conversation for about a half hour, and they said they're going to come back in 2 weeks. So they're going to bring the big guns back, I think. But anyway, it was a very interesting conversation, but I still have to give the gentleman credit for going out and doing what they do. We don't believe what they believe, but still, though, they go out and do what they do. And actually, the one gentleman, he knew at least some passages by memory. I give him credit for that. And then he was able to fairly quickly turn in his Bible and find a number of other ones. Now, I'm hoping that I benefited them a whole lot more than they benefited me. But because they're mixed up on their theology, but they're sincere people. They want to know the truth. So I'm hoping that in about a month or so, I'll be able to say, hey, see those two guys right in the back there? Those are those Jehovah's Witnesses that came to my door back a couple weeks, you know. But, well, we'll see if that happens or not. But the one gentleman, though, told me, he said he grew up Roman Catholic. And he said he's been a Jehovah's Witness now since 1973. So he's been doing this a long time. But he said that in the Roman Catholic Church, he couldn't quite get it. It didn't make sense to him. And when they shared what they believe in the Jehovah's Witnesses, somehow that made sense to him, and he decided to go in that direction. What I'm hoping to do is share the Bible with him in a way that makes even more sense, and maybe he'll come in our direction. Anyway, the point of it is, though, here are these men who probably, because they're looking at faith plus works, they're probably not our brothers in Christ, but at the same time, though, they are memorizing Scripture and have things marked in their Bibles. If they're doing that, how much more should we be doing that? This is important stuff. Hank Hanegraaff goes on to say, by the time I found out that not all Christians memorize Scripture, I was already hooked. Now as I look back, I can truthfully say that nothing compares with the excitement of memorizing Scripture. If I had to give up things in my life, I think that would be at the bottom of the list of something that I could not give up. And I hope that God never lets my mind get to a certain point where I can't remember what I've already memorized, but it is of just super vital importance. Well, what I come to next here are scripture memory tips, and you can find them on this green bookmark that you have in your worship folder today. Now I'm going to skip over going over the tips individually because I want to jump right to the next section of the sermon where I now try to apply these particular tips to Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. So let me just go down through here following the card and tell you how I would go about it, and I encourage you to do the same. So it says, read the context of the verse. In other words, we want to know what it means. So we've already done that in the reading earlier. We read verses 1 through 10 in order to understand what verses surround verses 8 and 9. So we took a look at it, and when we did that, we got a little bit of an idea that is talking, first of all, how before we knew Christ, we were dead in our sin, and we were deserving of the wrath of God. And then we saw how God took action, not because we are good people, but because he is a good God. God took action, and God united us to Christ, and God made us alive. And then we saw how at the end of that we are made alive in order to do the things that God has planned out for our lives. So that's the context of what we're looking at. Then in the second one, it says, rightly understand the verse. So if you look at the verse itself, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So by grace through faith. We better know what the word grace means. We better know what the word faith means, or we're not going to get much out of the verse. So when it says by grace, that means by the love that God has for us, though we do not deserve that love. Always understand the love of God. Now we're talking here about not brotherly love. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about the love that is in God. And God is loving us because he is love. He's not loving us because we are lovable. Important to know that. So grace is God loving us even though we do not deserve it. So we are saved by grace through faith. What is faith? For a long time, I thought that faith was simply having knowledge, if you will, about who Jesus is and what he has done, and that was kind of faith. What does Martin Luther say faith is? Martin Luther said faith has three ingredients. We think of the word cat with a K. So we think about knowledge, assent, and trust. I've changed it a little bit. You'll notice in one of the brochures where I say knowledge, agreement, and trust. To assent to something is really to agree to something. So knowledge, agreement, and trust. What does that mean? When we think about Jesus, we have knowledge. God has given us knowledge through his word that Jesus is the very Son of God. We also have knowledge that he lived for us, that he died for us, and so on. So a lot of people have that knowledge, but a much smaller number of those people actually agree that that knowledge is true. God has given us that, though. We know what Jesus has done. We agree that it is true. Some people stop right there and say, I have faith. I know who he is. I believe it's all true. I have faith and I'm going to heaven. Is that faith? It's not. Because we need the third part, which is trust. Now, trust is not something that comes from us. Trust is something that God gives to us. And with that gift that God gives, now we are able to trust, to put our confidence, to put our weight in Jesus Christ, in who he is and what he has done, and to put it in him alone as our Savior. So if you ever go to memorize a verse, and there are words in there, like years ago when I went to memorize 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that's where it has that word propitiation. I thought, what in the world is that? So what did I do? I grabbed my dictionary, I looked it up, then I found out that when Christ propitiated our sins, That means not only did he receive our sins, but he received the wrath of God upon himself for our sins. The wrath that we deserved, because we are children of wrath, Jesus took that wrath for us. Anytime you come across a word you don't understand, look it up so you know what the verse is about. That way, when you're memorizing it, you'll also be memorizing, if you will, the definition of those words. You'll know what they mean. The verse will be much more, much richer and much more wonderful. So that would be number two, then, to rightly understand the verse. Number three, you learn the reference in the first phrase. So I would take a look at it on a piece of paper, and I would go over and over it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Over and over again. Once I got kind of confident that I could say it without making a mistake, then you add a little bit more. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Then you say it over and over and over again. When I memorize a verse, it might take me a half hour, and I might say that verse 100 times, but that is the way you imprint it upon your heart, over and over and over again. If you can do it in an easier way, let me know. I don't have the ability to just look at it and remember it, but here's the thing, though, too. In the process of saying it over and over again, what are you doing? You are meditating upon God's word. What did we talk about several weeks ago? When you meditate upon God's word day and night, what is the result? Now we desire to do what that word says. And what is the further result? God gives us the blessings of prosperity and success, not according to the world, but according to the Almighty God. These things all fit together. So then in number four, you're adding a phrase. Number five, you're saying it out loud. Important to say it out loud. What happens when we say something out loud? The words go out of our mouth, and then they circle back around, and they go into our ears. So what I say is, when you say it out loud, it's like getting two for the price of one. Now, I know it kind of freaked out Kathy a little bit for a while. She's like, who's he talking to in the shower? You know, or he's in there by himself, but I hear him talking to somebody. She wasn't sure if she should call the guys in the white coats or what. Well, not really. But when you're doing scripture memory, though, a lot of times I do it when I'm driving. So no one else is in the car and I can do all the scripture memory I want. But still, though, it's important to say it out loud. If you really can't, you can still memorize scripture. Sometimes I'll review by being completely silent, or I'll memorize by being completely silent. But there's definitely at least a double shot when you say it out loud. It helps a whole lot in the process. So say it out loud if you can. Number six, important to say the reference, the verse, and the reference. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So you want to say the reference, say the verse, say the reference again. You have to lock it in together, because many people know a lot of verses, but they have no idea where they're at in the Bible. You don't want to get caught by someone, say a verse to them, and they're like, I don't think that's in the Bible. And if you could prove to me it's in the Bible, I would believe it, but since you can't prove it, I'm not going to believe it. Wouldn't that be kind of a helpless thing? You know it's in there, but what can you do, like speed read through the whole Bible or something? You can't do that. So memorize the reference with the verse. That is best. And then to pray about the verse. If I take a look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I would pray something like, Dear Father in heaven, thank you for loving me even though I am a sinner. Thank you for giving me the gift of faith in Jesus by which you have saved me from my sins. Help me to know that it's not something I have done, but it's something that you have done. Help me to never brag about being a Christian, but to be thankful for being a Christian, and help me that I might respond to your forgiveness by honoring you in all that I think, say, and do. Amen. Something like that, but you're taking the verse and you're praying it back to God. So that way you have an understanding of it now. You're praying it back to God. Really, in the way I just prayed it, that's a way to make application of the verse. Now you're thankful for salvation. You know it's all the work of God. And now you want to respond by that by not trying to earn your way to heaven, but by thanking God for the gift of heaven and wanting to, you know, honor him in every way. And then finally, we come to the last part there with sharing the verse with others. On Friday, I think it was, I memorized a passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. And after I memorized it, Stacy happened to be over. So I went out back and she was talking with Kathy. And I said to her, Stacy, can you check me on this verse and see if I can say it correctly? So I handed her the piece of paper that had the verse on it. And then I quoted the verse to her. So that was a way to get her involved in the word, kind of in an underhanded way, if you will. I think I knew the verse already, but I thought this way I get to share the verse with her too. Now, if you want to make it a little bit more interesting, you could kind of on purpose make some mistakes when you're saying the verse, and then they'll kind of help you through it. They're going to think they're really, you know, being your teacher here on this verse, and then you might have to say it like six times or something to get it right. How bad would that be? Now they get to hear it six times. And then you could say, yeah, by the way, when I was going over the verse, I wasn't sure what this one word meant, so I looked it up, and, you know, I found out this is what it means, and I found out this is how it applies to my life, and, you know, by the way, that even applies to your life, too, in the same way. And then you get into a conversation about the Bible just because you're checking a memory verse. So there's all kinds of ways that you can share the verse with others. So much more could be said, but let me go on to this memory verse selection. I would encourage you to choose verses that you already know. For example, I hope you're working on the ABC Bible verses. Every adult should know them. I won't do it this week, but next week, though, I'm going to stand at the door, and everyone has to quote all of them up through the O verse before you can leave. So I just want to give you a week of warning on that. Okay, so practice up this week, and then we will have food and beverages and bathroom facilities available in case you have to stay, because you'll have to stay until you've learned all of them, okay? Of course, I'm just kidding, but I'd love to do that, though. I just so much want you to learn them. But anyway, you can pick ones that you kind of already know. You could pick the ABC verses. How many verses do we have right in our worship folder? We have oftentimes the verse at the beginning. Do we have it today? No, I took it out for today. Well, we have the words of invocation. We have Matthew 28. When we say the invocation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's right out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Or we think about the Agnus Dei, right before communion, where we are remembering that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. That's in John 1:29. So look that up, write it down, learn it word perfect, and you have John 1:29. Think about the offertory. We're dealing with Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and so on. I think the version that we have in our hymnal and also in our worship folder is out of the King James Version of the Bible. So there are a lot of verses we know, but maybe we wouldn't say I've actually memorized them. So if you pick ones that you kind of know already, it's easy to add to your list of what you know. So you can take the bookmark, and then you can write down here at the bottom the different references. And I would challenge you then to look up those references in the Bible. Make sure you know those verses word perfect according to whatever translation of the Bible you choose to use. So know it exactly right, and you might have 10 verses on there that you halfway know, but then you're going to say, okay, I'm going to work on the first one, and once I have that word perfect, then I'll go on to the second one. So it might take you a while to actually get the 10 word perfect, but then you keep this in your favorite book, which I'm hoping is your Bible, and then every day you have a chance to look at the bookmark, to review what you have memorized. You can write other ones out on the back, but keep working at it. And an essential thing is to keep reviewing. It's a sad thing when, for example, I hope this isn't true, Devin, but like in confirmation class, did you learn the verse for the test or the quiz, and then you forgot it after that? I hope not. I hope you know all those verses that you memorized in confirmation. It's important to keep remembering them. I know that's not the usual thing. When you take a test in school, you learn for the test, you write it all out on the test, and it's like when you write it out on the test, it's like you're removing it from your brain. We don't want to do that with scripture memory. We want to retain it for the rest of our lives. So you have to have a system of regular review. This card will help you in that way. And also, too, the other way, well, just before I get to that, let me mention mentioned about the Bible Topics brochures. Many of you know about them already, but Bible Topics 1 and 2. And there are a lot of verses in here, and there are about 20 different topics. So the idea would be that if you have any kind of a struggle in your life at all, look at the second one, and it has all 20 topics listed right on the front. And if there's a topic here that deals with how you're struggling in your life, turn to that part of the brochure, look up those passages, and I bet at least one of them is going to kind of jump off the page at you. Take that passage and memorize it, and God will richly bless you. So this is a way to be able to find verses to memorize. Also, too, of course, when you're doing daily devotion, that's a way that God will show you key verses to memorize as well. Finally, with reviewing, you can use the insert again, and you can also do what I did in confirmation class and also did with Liz Hurst even years ago, is to make a brochure for the students in class and for her, and I'm going to offer it to everyone on our church website, but it'll be a brochure like this, but it will be entitled Helpful Bible Verses, and it'll have information in there about reviewing and about studying the Bible, and then you'll have a lot of blank space, so. And with the blank space, you can either put the references of verses you have already memorized, or you can include the entire verse. You would probably have room in the brochure to include maybe 20 or 25 verses actually written out. So what you'll find yourself doing is when you're initially memorizing, and maybe for a few weeks after that, you want to have the thing written out so you can keep checking yourself, keep making sure it's correct. After you have it memorized for a couple months, you're going to say, I know that so well, all I need to see is a reference, and I can say the whole thing. So then you take out the words, and you just leave the references in the brochure. But but that way, though, having the brochure done, it's easy to fold in half and carry it with you. And then anytime you have a little free time, you can take it out and review what you already know, memorize a new verse. Let's say you're in the grocery store and you're in line and you're reviewing a verse and somebody says, what's that? And you're like, well, I'm memorizing a Bible verse. And then they're like, well, what is the verse? And you share the verse with the person. They're like, oh, that's a really cool verse. I should memorize that too. And you're like, okay, here, you can have my brochure because you have this on your computer at home. And not only is it your own personalized folder, but maybe it's advertising our church on the back, and maybe it even has your name and phone number on the back, so that person might even call you and say, wow, thanks so much for sharing that with me. Or maybe the next week in church, that person you find sitting right in your pew because they saw the church reference and they decided to come to a church that encourages scripture memory. All kinds of things could happen, but I'm going to post this on the website today so that you'd have a chance, not this one, but the other one, but you'll have a chance then to take the brochure, make your own. It'll all be laid out. It'll be real simple. And then to be able to use it, again, to review and to memorize. So much more I'd love to be able to say, but let me leave you with this. The challenge is to memorize at least one verse every month. Might not seem like much, but after 5 years, that will be 60, and that's a lot. The super challenge would be to memorize a verse every week. The Dawson-Troutman challenge is to memorize one verse for every meal that you eat. So what does that mean? That means you memorize three every day, 21 a week. Dawson Troutman, by the time he was a one-year-old Christian, he had memorized over 1,000 Bible passages. I'm not on that pace at all. However, though, it's such a super powerful blessing that if you hear the sermon today and you choose not to do that, well, I'm going to say right now, shame on you, because you are missing out on such a wonderful, powerful thing. Try it. You might like it, and I think you will. It's so wonderful. Let me leave you with these words. Know that God will work through that verse you memorize. He will strengthen you in unbelievable ways. He will guide you crystal clear in how to function in your life. And he will use you in many wonderful ways to be a blessing to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, and to others. And all God's people said, Amen.